got you, don't you worry. If you were in a hurry, buy a Curry and Claypool. Curry and Claypool. No matter how your day go, they got a fresh new show today. It's Curry and Claypool. Whether you up north of Gardendale or down south past Vestavia, turn up your sound and listen well, cause we got something to say to you. Curry and Claypool, they in the know. Their topics cover A to Z. So whether you drive fast or slow, just sit on back and feel the beat. It's Curry and Claypool.
Good morning to you. It is December 13th. We are 12 days away from Christmas. It's Curry and Claypool Show. Monday morning. By the way, people are asking us our schedule. Dr. Josh will be going to the UK, going to visit his son and the Big Ben. They call it the Big Ben or Big Ben. Is it like the Facebook or the Big Ben?
I don't know. I'll find out. And I think I told you, my son is actually, he's been there, 4 months?
Yeah.
He's picking up. Like, just a tinge of an accent.
Mm.
It's not like you,
dude.
It's not. You talk to him. It's, you know, he's not full British.
Oh yeah, but I mean,
he uses bit.
And I mean this in the, yeah. You know, I love your son, but a gay British dude is hot.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. Yeah.
Now
there's a lot of them there too.
I'm not dead, you know. I'm 55. We can keep it in the family. I'm just.
It's really interesting to talk to him. He uses the word bit, like. With a bit of chocolate.
Yeah.
And he does that. He does like that. Just be careful, dude. I'm going to come back 3 weeks and I'm going to have this weird ass.
Oh, man, dude.
Yes.
Well, we talk about.
I know.
We've said this a million times now.
But I just don't feel.
You emulate. It's the most sincere form of flattery when you emulate the people you're around.
But I feel like you have to do it. I mean, you don't do it consciously, but I feel like it has to be.
No, that's why it makes it even more impressionable.
I know.
That you're not doing it on purpose, because if you did it on purpose, you'd be mocking them.
Right. And you're right.
You know, so that was the whole Brian Kelly thing. People made fun of him.
Yeah,
I know. It's when you get around your black friends. It's when you get around your buddies in the bar, you start dropping F-bombs. You feel comfortable. When you feel comfortable,
no,
you're transparent.
True. It's true.
Yes. So that's great. That means he's taking it in and he's loving it.
Oh, it is.
That's great.
He used word lovely. He did. He said, we're going to go to the Christmas market. It's quite lovely.
I love that.
What?
Oh, that's killer. And for people that don't know, your son, I don't think I would have known. Well, I've known your son for a while. I would have never known he was gay.
No, he doesn't have any.
And he's not.
Feminine,
so for them to say lovely is lovely.
No, but that's British lovely.
Yeah, but it's still lovely.
No, but it's all British lovely.
Mm.
Everything's lovely. Even when we were corresponding with like some of the places we're staying.
Yeah.
They write in British accent.
How do you do that?
They write things like it'll be a bit of and it'll be lovely and.
What's the weather like over there right now?
Right now it's
there. How 6 hours ahead?
Yeah, and he said the sun sets at 3:30.
Oh yeah,
3:45. Weather forecast when we're there is supposed to be sunny,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it's somewhere between like Seattle and maybe just like Kentucky.
Yep.
So a little more snow, but it's kind of dark and gray.
Yeah,
but we're supposed to get sunny weather, high at 40.
I need you to do two things for me.
Yes.
First of all, and I was looking this morning, we have like 50-something people in Great Britain listening this morning. I don't know. Seriously.
Greetings.
Yeah, there's like 52 people in Great
Britain.
It's just, I mean, well, it started off like a couple people on the Thames River were listening a couple weeks ago, and now it's exploded, which is great, because whenever you listen to us, wherever, it just word of mouth gets out there. I want you to do two things. I want you to get my son something from Big Ben.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He went through a Big Ben phase, and I'm trying to get him back into that because now he's into tornado sirens and trains, and both of them are really loud. The second thing is, I want you to head to Manchester, which is, I think is about 60 miles north of London.
Yeah.
And I want you to go kick radio.co's ass for me.
Oh, yeah.
That radio.co, for people who don't know, yes. We're an internet radio station. We're heard in 100 and something different countries, and we're in every state, and we have thousands of listeners all over the world. We're based right here in Birmingham, Alabama.
Sister city.
Yeah, you're going to our sister city. Yeah, you're going. Yeah,
you have to be careful when you type in Birmingham when you're traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you can, just, and we use radio.co, which is, people are like, well, why don't you use one in the United States? There are none in the United States that are worth a crap. And so all these internet providers are out of the country. So whenever I'm having issues here, I have to get in touch with them by like noon.
Yeah,
or no, well, not even noon. Like now, right now, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's
there,
a whole,
so,
yeah.
And I'm busy. I don't have time. And so,
it is. I mean, we have these conversations.
Just say, hey, listen, we're rocking over here. Don't mess with us.
Just leave us alone.
Yeah. And they do good work. They do. Fine job. Speaking of Kentucky, man, I'm telling you, and I want to keep it light. It's Christmas time and everything.
Yeah.
This tornado thing that happened in Kentucky, Mayfield, and Bowling Green, and five or six other states. Wow, I don't know. I was watching it last night, and NBC Nightly News. I watched Fox here locally, and I watched the Nightly News there because my dad did. Their whole opening was all tornado stuff.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, and I've never seen that. Usually they'll go big story, and then they do like seven or eight different other stories. The whole opening was on the tornado thing, and I realized there was a lot of loss of life. I mean, if you lose four or five people in a tornado now, you're like, wow, that's a lot. I mean, they're going to push 100. I think it's 84 as of this morning. And I'm sitting there watching it, and then I watched 60 Minutes last night because I didn't have kids. I was actually watching some dad TV, and they did a whole segment the last 5 minutes. They're going to do a whole show on the tornado and the weather and the climate change. And I know a lot of climatologists are going, see, I told you, shouldn't be 85 degrees in Mississippi on December 11th. What's going on? And I don't know if that's the case or not. I think it was a perfect storm for a lot of people. But man, I've been through Bowling Green a million times. Whenever I drive to Cincinnati, it's always my first exit. There's a White Castle right off the interstate there.
Yep.
And the Corvette Museum's up on the way, and I've been through Mayfield a million times.
It's gone.
I lived in Louisville, which is about an hour and a half.
Mayfield's gone, dude.
And my heart just aches for those people, particularly around the holidays. I mean, it's horrible. Vladimir Putin actually reached out to Joe Biden yesterday to pay his condolences about our tornadoes. That's how bad this tornado was. He's never done that. I mean, I know they just spoke on the phone a couple of days ago about the Ukraine stuff, but when Vladimir Putin's reaching out to Joe Biden saying, man, I'm sorry about your loss of life in this tornado thing, that is like huge news to me. That is incredible. And it's heart-wrenching. It is absolutely heart-wrenching to see how many people have been affected by these storms. And listen, December, out of all the months, I've done some homework, and we should have gotten JP Dice on, and we can still do that. Least amount of tornadoes of any month of the year. And so this thing came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And our hearts go out to those people, and I'm praying for you, man, because I knew some people that were actually right outside Bowling Green that are friends of mine. I called them. They're fine. They haven't had cell phone service in 3 days. But it sucks.
We have family in Mayfield. I mean, the other thing, just to put in perspective, I mean, you know, 70, 80 people dead, probably be north of 100.
Normally, you see something like that, they're all in one spot, right? When I heard a factory was hit, the candle factory and the Amazon distribution center, I was like, okay, it must have been like, it wasn't. It was widespread, man.
But it also wasn't, it didn't hit a major, it didn't hit Louisville, where you have a much greater population density.
Yep.
So to be able to take that many people out, right,
crazy,
in a relatively smaller, and the pictures.
Mayfield,
I mean,
was what? How many people lived in Mayfield? Like,
not a lot.
Yeah,
and it just, you know, we see this all the time. We see it everyone, and we're always. But this one, it just leveled everything.
Yeah,
there was nothing untouched.
Yeah,
I mean, just, and like you said, we just donated this morning. There's lots of relief packages going on, et cetera. You know, I mean, it's horrible anytime. But this is holiday. Well, I should say it's holiday time for these people. There isn't a celebrate. Like, it just, it goes off the map.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in your heart, and it's a religious holiday. But this is not it. This is about, this is about search and rescue and shelter and all of the basic human needs. I mean, that's all that this is going to be.
I was there. I was 8 years old in the 1974 April 3rd tri-state tornado outbreak, which at the time was the biggest outbreak of tornadoes we had ever had in this country. And to have the longest tornado on the ground in the history of this nation should just tell you just how, and the fact that it was an EF3 or EF4 should just tell you how severe it is. The before and after pictures that they're doing with the drone stuff is like,
oh, yeah. The drone makes the drone gives you so much.
The Google Earth thing is like, it's just, oh man, it's heart wrenching. It just makes me so sad for people up there. I lived up there for 3 years, and we thoughts go to us. I gave as well this morning, and please help these people. They've helped us down here when we've had issues down here. And you know, tornadoes are so weird because there is no. I've seen a million stories where there's only, you know, I remember driving through Xenia, Ohio back in 1974, and the entire town of Xenia was wiped off the face of the map with the exception of this one bathroom.
Right. Yep.
There were three people in the bathroom, and the door is still swinging open, and it's like, what in the world? And I've seen these stories over and over. You just don't know. And when you're talking about hurricanes, you know hurricanes are coming. There's hurricane seasons. We have hurricane seasons.
Well, and they come this way. Like, it's terrible. Yeah, they go, they're not, this.
You don't know this. You know that game we used to have to play with? It was a board, and you put pegs up, and there's a top, and you pull the top.
Yes.
And the top spins around the board, and it knocks the pins over, and you get points of the pins. That's what reminds me, because you don't know where the hell it's going. You have an idea of the cone. You know, you have an idea, but I mean, even if it hits you straight on, it doesn't mean it's going to knock you off. And then peripherally, it's horrible. And I still don't think, I remember after 1974, we saw a tornado right across the street. It was less than a half mile from our house. It went right over my grandma and grandpa's house. They lived across State Route 42 in Westchester. And my brother was out there looking at it, and he was mesmerized. He couldn't move.
Right.
My dad was like pulling him by the back of the pants, pulling him into the house. We had no sirens back then in 74, and we would just kind of go out, and if it was green or brown, we'd go back down to the basement. We were in the basement for over 24 hours. We'd come out in the middle of the street, and as soon as it started getting weird, we'd go back inside. And there was a tornado warning like a week later. And that scared the hell out of me, because when my mom said, you need to go upstairs and go to bed, we got down there like at 8 o'clock at night. It was 8 o'clock the following night. I was like, I'm not going upstairs. Yeah. She's like, you got to go. Yep. We had no school for like a week. Yep. And I did not want to go upstairs. And so my dad's out in the garage stuffing newspapers. He's a newspaper distributor. And he's stuffing newspapers. And I'm like, hey, and we had a weather radio, you know, that was the closest thing we had to any siren. And I said, hey, we got a tornado warning for Butler County. You need to come inside or go down to the basement. He wouldn't come in. After that storm a week earlier, and there's still this idea that, you know, I don't know what the math is on it, what the chances are of being hit by a tornado. I know in southern Alabama there's a tornado alley, and they're saying the whole tornado alley is moving to the east a little bit. But there's still this idea whenever we have a tornado that it ain't going to hit me.
Right.
It ain't going to hit me. And we're seeing, and obviously the one that just hit here a few months ago, right up the street.
Yeah.
When they're mentioning Heatherwood, you know.
Well, it could have, the one up the street could have easily taken us out.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't. And it is, you see the same thing with wildfires?
Yeah.
A little bit. A little bit. You know, it'll be okay. It's going to take a jog to the right. It's going to take a jog to the left. I've got many family and friends who, you know, they're doing the same thing. Is it going to go? Which way is it going to go? Which way is it going to go? Okay, we got to get out. It comes, it's not as fast as a tornado, but you'll see the same thing in wildfires. You know, it's going and going. All of a sudden it jumps the line and then boom. But it is.
And sometimes it is going as fast as a tornado.
That's true.
I've seen what they say, like a football field in a second when the wind's blowing.
And that's what's different. It's terrible. But, you know, I grew up in earthquake country. Mm-hmm. You just don't know when it's going to, like, you literally don't know what's going to happen. And what you were talking about, this sort of post-event stress or fight or flight gets turned on.
Yeah.
You see it every event afterwards, most people are on edge.
Yeah.
So the the next warning or the next rain or the next something, you know, people are much more hypervigilant. It's a normal response. Earthquakes are weird because, you know, earthquake obviously is shaking. So you go through an earthquake, it's over, you're okay, but you're kind of edged. Then any vibration of anything,
yeah.
After the big Northridge earthquake, I was in down in San Diego and I came home to help out. My whole family and every family I was with, and again, I was in San Diego, so it was untouched. Anytime anything moved, you know, like I got out of my chair and it like moved the table,
yeah.
My entire family, whoop, up in the, And it's so, to me, it's so fascinating the way our bodies, it's not just our mind, our entire nervous system just, it's so physical and physiological that it's crazy. And but that's the hard thing with an earthquake. You just, and I always say, I hate to say this, give me an earthquake any day.
Yeah, well,
you
I
just,
mean,
you can't,
that's the one thing. I mean, we can make any time there's devastation in the weather right now. We can certainly make an argument that it has something to do with our climate control. Earthquakes are one of those things where, is there any correlation between, we need to get JP Dice.
Yeah,
because
I think
there is. There any correlation? Because I would think.
It's warmer.
That the
and
warming
the
and the, wouldn't you think? I mean, I don't know. Well, the warmth, the fact that there's a lot of tectonic plates and fault lines in oceans, the fact that oceans are getting warmer, does that make it easier? Or does it make it better? The fact that things are sliding more? I don't know.
I have read we are seeing greater intensity of earthquakes.
Yeah.
They're worse. Okay,
Some History Channel thing on earthquakes the other day. they always talk about the Yellowstone, you know, the super volcano and all that stuff. They're saying that Seattle, that area is so overdue for something, and then the tsunami that will be associated with that will wipe it all the way to what is it, State Route? What is it, 4? What is it, 5 or something? It goes right down the coastline.
Oh yes.
And the water will go all the way up to, you know, God forbid.
You should always tune in to us for all of the most detailed, specific, factual information, literally about anything.
Yeah.
Have you noticed how many different segments we do? Mm-hmm. That was our weather.
No, and I think it's real. And you know, the fact that I've been here for 30 years, just in the last 10 years, we've been stricken with so many tornado events here that it's just amazing. And south of us, seems like they get bombarded by it over and over. It's the same path over. Holly Pond is the same path over and over and over again. And at some point, you're like, I'm getting the hell out of here. But they can't. The other thing I think is really interesting, you mentioned Louisville, Kentucky. People have this myth that tornadoes can't hit major metropolises.
Right.
They can.
Yes.
And there's nothing, is it the buildings right. or is it the fact there's more warmth? It has nothing to do with the atmospheric conditions of a big city. It's just that there's a lot more rural areas in this country than there are big cities. And so there's a lot more land where tornadoes can
go.
It's
safe.
I would say it's only a matter of time before
anything.
A major city gets hit by something like that. And hell, we had that one, that went through Tuscaloosa. It just went north of Birmingham. We were looking outside of our window and watching it go. Paul Feinbaum was in a studio. I was sitting there with him, and you could watch it as it went behind us. So scary stuff there. I heard a Facebook post. I tried to find it this morning. This woman who was trapped in the Amazon distribution center. Fantastic, wonderful. She went on for like 4 minutes. She had her phone and she's like, I needed to do so. She went Facebook Live on her phone and it was dark. You couldn't see anything.
Oh my goodness.
And she spoke for like 3 or 4 minutes. And man, it was so heartwarming. You could tell that she was helping other people. There were people screaming. Yeah. It was hard to listen to at the beginning. She's like, settle down. It's going to be okay. We're all right. She kept talking about how bad her foot hurt. And then she kept saying it was her birthday. She said, hey, listen, y'all, my birthday's coming up in 2 hours. And this shit ain't going to end my birthday. We're going to have birthday. And then she made the people in her room sing happy birthday to her.
Beautiful.
Sing happy birthday to me. Do it now.
Great psychological intervention. No, it's perfect.
It was great. People were screaming.
Yes.
And saying happy birthday to me now, damn it. And she's cussing. It was great.
I
was like, this woman, she's like, y'all better get out of here. Go get me some birthday gifts now because you know I saw my. And she got on with throwing. And then she said, well, I wish I had a bottle of tequila right now. If I had a bottle of tequila. It was so real and unfiltered. It was fantastic. It was great. So she was an angel for a lot of people. And then, of course, I know Jeff Bezos, I want to get your thoughts on this.
I didn't hear what did he do. Please tell
well,
me.
He was.
Tell me he did something like appropriate.
He did, okay. But about 24 hours later, he didn't do anything on Friday when it hit, but then he said something on Saturday, you know, that his thoughts and prayers go out to all of his Amazon employees that were affected by the storm. And then he had a big party, and then he took Michael Strahan to orbit to. And that was one of these things that I guess it had been suspended a couple of times because of weather. And so he went up into to space with Michael Strahan. Well, he sent him, I guess, on Sunday. And
what is with him?
Well,
I mean, seriously, like, where's his people? Where's the PR team?
I don't know. He and then obviously people were going, well, there were no Amazon employees on that flight.
Yeah.
Because there ain't any left. You know, I mean, it's just.
I don't get that. I really, no, seriously. There is a.
He really had an opportunity to step up and say, listen.
There is a clear.
And even if it looked patronizing, he could have said, we were supposed to fly up today
for
Michael Strahan, blah, blah.
It's not
we're
patronizing.
Not doing it. This is not the time to do these things. And it would have looked like. He would have caught hell for that too, but not nearly as much.
Why did he catch hell for that?
Just because he's Jeff Bezos.
No, well, but see, that's the thing.
But not nearly as much as he did because he followed through on that.
He clearly. His psychological profile is fascinating because, you know, he's dweeby looking. He's kind of awkward-y. Obviously, look, genius, Amazon. I get 15 deliveries every day. Yeah. I'm a huge consumer of it. Lots of problems, lots of controversy, but clearly he came up with this amazing idea. But the thing that I really cannot understand is in situations like this, and it's like this, the William Shatner was not the same thing, but it's like it's got this almost somewhere between narcissism, to be honest, and maybe a little Asperger, like this just disconnect from what's happening socially, and obviously I don't know him, so it's somewhere between I don't care or I'm just not connected to that. I'm not dialed into that because something like that. First of all, waiting 24 hours makes no sense. It just doesn't. I mean, you go on, you say it as soon as it's happened, you say it again and again. These are your employees.
Yeah.
And then taking someone up to space. Like, you got enough money that you have enough resources that to cancel a flight, Michael Strahan is not going to, like, there's nothing bad. Is Strahan still on what news net? Is he still?
Good Morning America, yeah.
Yeah, I'll bet you he's doing stories on it. Not on the flight, on...
Well, he could have taken the high road, too, and said, listen, I appreciate the opportunity, but I'm not going to do this right now.
See, I don't get that.
This was not an isolated incident. This affected a large portion of our country. The other thing I think is really interesting, and listen, I certainly understand that, and I'm not one of the ones that's going to sit here and slam on him. At least he did comment. That's great. He should have commented even if it wasn't one of his facilities, because a person of that accountability and responsibility and that... Should have said, you know, thank goodness our employees are safe, even if that Amazon distribution center, and we have one here.
Yes.
There's one almost every major city. When you're talking about a major corporation, I don't know how many Amazon workers are. How many Amazon workers are?
I don't know.
80-something thousand, 100,000? I don't know. I can maybe way off. It reminds me of, like, Christmas parties. You know, we used to, our station used to be out of Las Vegas, where our headquarters were. We had 6,000 employees. I don't know what it was. And when they came to your Christmas party, it was like, hey, you know, the Dicks are coming, or the so-and-so are coming. Well, you know, and they would show up for a few minutes and they'd leave. And there's this, Amazon's got this small town because of what they do. They got this small town feel to them, but they're not.
It's Walmart.
And yeah, it is. Exactly. And times 10. And so there's this feeling that when you're someone that's if not the wealthiest man in the world, not reaching out to one of his 8 million employees, it's just,
look,
it's the right thing to do.
Listen, think about the president visiting. It's one thing, the governor, it's your state.
Yeah.
You know, you're coordinating as a governor, as a mayor, you are coordinating logistics.
Yeah.
But you think about, and I've often thought about this, because it is, and we've had times like during Katrina where President Bush, they decided not to have him visit immediately just because of the distraction, right?
Yeah.
and I don't know about you, and this is just my, and I don't care, this is not Republican or Democrat. I do always think it's odd. I understand why, that the president comes and visits. Or no, he doesn't, they don't say visit. He, what is it? He surveys the damage.
There's 1.5 million Amazon employees.
Okay. So it's always an odd thing to me. It really is. Like, I understand why, but it, in some ways it's not pointless, but like, why is the president there?
You mean for like a tornado event or? For
yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad, but if you just like take a step back.
Yeah.
So the president is there surveying the damage. He or she, they're not surveying the damage so they personally know how many resources to allocate.
Yeah.
It's totally symbolic. And I'm not, and I understand people, we've seen it, every president, people are so grateful they're there. But at the same time, it's just, you know, you got to fly, you got Secret Service, you got to bring Air Force One. It's just,
yeah,
like,
but I mean, I think it's super important that they do. And I think that the fact that, I think people appreciate the fact that they can take time out of their busy schedule to come to Ground Zero and at least fly over it, see it, talk to the people. It's certainly a picture op. It's a symbolic situation.
Yeah.
But it's something that needs to be done and has to be done. And,
right.
And
Bezos should have been there.
He should have flown to Kentucky immediately and met with his employees. That's just me. Listen, it's not going to affect his bottom line. It's not going to affect how much money he makes. It's not going to affect his business.
That's what I mean. I don't know that I
But it would have gone a long way. And listen, we don't know this.
Yeah.
He may have taken care of every family affected by this tornado.
That's a good point, Tony.
He may be paying for funerals. He may be doing any, and I know that he gives a lot of money. So I'm not going to hammer on him because
and maybe that's true.
He may have just sent every one of his employees in that warehouse $10,000 check and said, "I'm sorry, you went through." I don't know if he did or not.
I hope he did.
It just looks, you know, he's been catching a lot of hell, and so has Elon Musk about sending these people to space for $250,000 on his bill, and he was the one that said, and I want to thank all my Amazon employees for allowing me to do this because of you. And that was just like, dude. You're right. He's got a little Asperger's or narcissism or something.
I can't figure out which one. You can't figure out which one. And I would say the same thing. Like, at that level, there's got to be PR people. Yeah. Or there are PR people going like this, going, oh, God.
Yeah. One guy who does take care of his employees and everyone who comes to his place is the club at Lakeview and Chris Creek. The club at Lakeview is a wonderful place, a nine-hole golf course, golf, swim, eat, repeat. You can golf there 12 months out of the year. The golf course is always impeccable shape. The swimming pool is closed right now because, obviously, the temperatures. But you don't have to wait for Memorial Day or Labor Day to get in and out of the pool. As soon as it gets warm enough, they'll open it up. They'll leave it open all the way through December if it's warm enough to get done. Great food, 50-foot bar, bowl season's coming up, national championship, the Cotton Bowl. Coming up with Alabama and Cincinnati. You got the Orange. It's just going to be a great holiday season. And, of course, you can be part of a community-based private membership at the Club at Lakeview. The Club at Lakeview, their Facebook page, theclubatlakeview.com, 205-477-6125, 477-6125. It's the Club at Lakeview. Also this weekend, I don't know why this affected me so much. And maybe I kind of talked myself into it, but the Michael Nesmith loss was just like...
I know.
I remember sitting with a friend of mine, Joey Malberg, who lived right behind me.
Joey.
He's the one that got me my first job.
Is he still alive?
You know, I've tried to find him, and I cannot find him. His mom's name was Joy. His dad's name was Vic. He was an only child.
All your friends had cool names.
His
Tony, Joey, Vic.
Yep. He was an only child, and he used to call his dad Vic. And we always thought that was really different. They were friends, and it was a great father. And Joey grew up to be a great man. I mean, and at least the last time I saw him, he was a wonderful individual. He got me my job at Kentucky Fried Chicken when I was 15. He was a great mentor. He taught me a lot about life. He was one of those guys that got me through a lot, you know, through prepubescent and puberty and everything else. We spent a lot of time together. Yeah, in a lot of ways. Girls taught me how to find things.
Was this the garage? Was this guy?
No. That was Scott Moffin.
Okay, good.
But I remember going up to his. I had a Mickey Mouse turntable, and you closed it up, had the thing, and I was walking up there, and there was a mulberry bush that was halfway between his house and my house that Dan thinks sprouted. It does mulberries. They look like small blackberries, but they're on a tree. Oh yeah,
they're good.
Oh,
I grew up
mulberry
in the,
tree.
I grew up in the desert. We had oranges. That was it.
I haven't seen a mulberry tree since then.
Oh, okay,
and and we used to sit in that tree and eat the mulberries until we were shitting our pants. We'd eat so much fruit. It was unbelievable. We'd sit up there and we had a cherry tree in the back. We just eat fruit all day. We had a mandarin tree, neighbor down the street. Oh, yeah. We just go, what fruit we eating today? We didn't have anything but bananas, man. So we'd sit in that mulberry tree, and I would say, I'd be up in a minute, I'm going to stop at the mulberry tree. Sounds so like rock.
What?
It sounds so.
Yeah, like an old freaking man.
Sounds so Rockwell, right? Yeah. So we'd sit in the tree, and I'd have my. And I put my turntable on the ground. I climb a tree for 15 minutes. I go down and get my turntable, and I go to his house. And we used to listen to the Monkees on that turntable. And there was a Aunt Zelda song. And we used to play it at 78, and we used to laugh. We thought that was, and I was like 8 or 9 years old. We used to think that was the greatest album of all time. Then, of course, you know, we'd watch the TV show, the water coming up. They run away from the water. They're pushing it. They were the coolest band, and I know they had a short run. I don't know why. It was just during a particular time in my life. And Michael Nesmith was the guy. We always called the guy with the hat.
Yep.
And he was the one that wasn't ever funny.
Nope. Straight guy.
We figured if anyone in the band, now none of the Monkees could play a musical instrument worth a rip.
Oh, that's true.
When they first started. And then they were like, listen, guys, y'all need to learn a music. Could you imagine if someone said, you got a successful show, but you got to learn how to play guitar by next season? What? And you're going to play your own songs. And these songs were being written by Neil Diamond. I mean, big time artists were writing songs to the Monkees.
Right.
Yes.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
And Michael Nesmith wrote songs for Linda Ronstadt.
Yes.
He wrote
songs
for Pat Benatar.
Yes.
I mean, he wrote, and I, you know, he was known as this goofy monkey dude. And the weird thing is, they were on tour.
I know.
You know,
only him and Mickey.
Him and Mickey were on tour together just like 3 weeks ago. And he died of natural cause at the age of 78. And I just was kind of like, wow. But he embraced his role. But he was so much more than that. And a lot of people didn't realize that. I love people like that. Because he was so evolutionary in his writing skills, the fact that he could write stuff for other people.
Well, they said there was a little bit of a rift between him and the rest of the band.
Oh yeah, yeah. He didn't join when they had the Monkees reunion. He was like, I'm out. It was because he didn't want to revert back to
He was a songwriter who happened to find himself acting versus the other way around.
And in a weird way. They were the rich man's Partridge Family.
Oh, yeah.
Because until you get that first hit, that, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, this band is, or the Archies. Oh, I can't believe I'm even saying the Archies. Sugar. I can't, wow. But the Monkees, I don't know how many top 10 hits they had, but I mean, they had a few.
I know.
And they weren't all goofy. Remember they used to do the Benny Hill thing where they were moving really fast and the show was funny?
It was great.
But it just took me back to a warmer, simpler time.
It time stamps. When I went to do the Twitter post, I actually debated. You know me. I'm pretty impulsive. I'm like, something warms my heart, and I'm right there. Yeah. I started writing, and I'm like, okay. I don't know why, but I was like, okay, there's a lot of people. There are a lot of people who know exactly what I'm talking about, and there's going to be a lot of people who like, who?
Doesn't matter.
No, I know. Well, that's why I went and wrote it. I mean, that's why I wrote it because it wasn't. I was trying to think who was iconic. They were iconic. But you wouldn't know if you're under 40. You wouldn't know who the Monkees were.
No, you may not. You may know who the Monkees were,
but you wouldn't have experienced it.
Yeah, you probably
remember when Davey was on the Brady Bunch.
Oh yeah, him and Marsha.
Oh,
dude, Davey Jones.
He's there in the sound booth holding his hand over his earphone.
Oh, he was huge, man.
Oh, my God. Do you remember
when huge.
I was like, oh, shit. Well, we all were. We're like, shit, there's Davy Jones. He's on the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
That was always that was another interesting thing. This is so funny. This is an interesting trivia tip. When was the first time that a major actor or celebrity from one entity popped up, made a cameo appearance?
Yep.
When did that first happen? like in the 20s, 30s.
I don't know.
40s?
Was that during when the Monkees were
yes,
hot?
Yes, because he was Davy Jones.
Yeah, because the Brady.
Played himself.
And that was a huge get for the Brady Bunch because that show.
Joe Namath was on that show.
Oh yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like that's an interesting. I've never thought about that. The cameo appearance. The
first cameo. Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here watching Baywatch right now, and there's been like,
oh my God,
Dick Van Patten was on the damn show. I'm like, what the hell is Dick Van Patten doing on Baywatch?
We do need to do a show on this. They just, besides the TNA,
yeah,
it is weird. And okay, they're going at it, but all the stars of all these odd shows just seem to pop up on Baywatch.
What's great about shows like that is. Are they getting the cameos from big stars because they need it, or are they getting the cameos from people because they can? Because if you ever watch Friends,
yeah,
TBS runs Friends like 14 hours a day.
Yeah,
it's my nap show. I'll take a quick nap in the afternoon and I always put it on channel 22. Dude,
everybody
in the world was on that show. Everyone from Brad Pitt to Tom Selleck to
right.
Every SI model. It was crazy. And you're thinking to yourself, normally when you have celebrities coming into shows, like, because they didn't need that. They don't need that.
No, it's the celebrities are begging.
There was one scene where Robin Williams walks in with Billy Crystal just to do a quick little thing on the couch. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And it was funny, but it had nothing to do with the storyline. But I watched it, and I thought, wow, that's amazing. So there was a lot of people. But, yeah, it's a great point. I'd forgotten Davy Jones was on. But, you know, there's one monkey left. What does Mickey do now?
Nothing. I mean,
the thing is.
And he looks. We all get older, but it's just the whole thing. It's just, we should embrace everyone. This is like an Instagram thing. Embrace the aging process. It brings wisdom, brings insight, it brings experience and compassion. I mean, that is it. It also brings, like, you look older and things hurt and shit. Yeah. But, like, the Monkees looked old.
They did look old, but I'll say this. We have really come a long way in the acceptance of just the name of the band, and if the music sounds like the band, we're okay with it. Lynyrd Skynyrd ain't got one damn member left in it, and they're selling out shows all over the place. Now Gary Rosin is still in, but he's kind of in and out, and Damon Johnson, our good friend, plays guitar for them. But I mean, there isn't now there's been a reincarnation because Johnny Van Zandt's been with the band for 20 years, and so he's kind of like the new Lynyrd Skynyrd guy. But if you get four guys together, they don't have to look like the Monkees, but if they sound like the Monkees and they buy the rights to the Monkees, I saw a commercial the other day.
That's a cover band then.
It's a cover band. Cover bands are doing really well. There's a Fleetwood Mac cover band. There's a Led Zeppelin cover band. There's a Guns N' Roses cover band. And they're doing great because a lot of those big bands don't tour anymore. And you can't, and they don't, Black Jackets, and they don't come to Birmingham, Alabama every time they go on tour.
I know.
But if they sound like the band, I'm willing to go, Black Jacket Symphony is a prime example of that. I mean, they sound so spot on. It's like you think you're actually that Beatles band that came to town, the Birmingham Jefferson Complex a couple weeks ago, and we're much more accepting of that because I do think it's like, okay, I know it's not the real band, but now you couldn't do it with like a single, like you couldn't do it with Jimmy Buffett, but you can do it with bands.
Yeah,
and now it's to the point where like
you're gonna have to.
I saw a commercial the other day, the Spinners.
Yeah, I know.
Are playing the Spinners and the Coasters and the Four Tops, and I'm one, and they're guys in their 20s. I remember being on the Strip in Tuscaloosa like 20 years ago when the Coasters were playing. Smoke gets in your eyes. I'm like, what? And so I walked in, and it was these four dudes that were 23 and 24 years old. They look like them. They sounded just as good as and I enjoyed it. It was a $20 ticket. They bought the rights to the name of the Coasters. Like, and so they could officially call themselves the Coasters.
I feel like there needs to be lineage. Like Lynyrd Skynyrd is a good example.
Yeah.
Don't you know what I mean? Like I could embrace seeing a classic rock band with, one or maybe even none of the original members if there was some connection.
So you'd be okay with Wolfgang playing for his dad?
Yeah, there's got to be some or maybe.
And Van Zandt was that in
that's exactly. Or, a cousin, a next door neighbor. There's just got to. Otherwise, to me, it is a cover band who just has the money and bought the rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they sound like it, though.
I mean, look at the Stones. There's only three of them, and one's down.
Yeah.
If Mick Jagger goes down, I mean, it's done. Keith Richards not going to pull off a concert tour.
Well, no.
Will?
Well, Roger Daltrey is. He's by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, Pete Townsend's not dead, but I mean, he's still out. But he's still the Who. Yeah, to your point, when the singer goes down, but the Monkees did it, and they were pretty successful in this last tour. And Davy Jones, they people were like, you can't go on the road as the Monkees about Davy Jones. He's dead.
Yeah.
They did. They had to do his son just like Davy Jones.
Probably was he young?
Probably getting the same ass as Davy Jones was getting, too. Talk about one of our great sponsors real quick, and then we have a very special birthday celebration that I cannot believe you haven't brought up in 39 minutes since the Curry and Claypo show came on. By the way, download the Tony Curry Radio app. We have great shows. Dark Side of the Pooch. It's Dark Side of the Pooch Mondays. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net. Leave me your email questions. It's Dark Side of the Pooch noon and 8 o'clock. So at noon today and 8 o'clock later on tonight, Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rosbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301. Check them out. They do wonderful work. And by the way, they do not board any more pets this year. They're done. They must have like a 5-star. It must be like Woodhouse Day Spa or something. Because they, man, when people board their pets, that's like the Embassy Suites. Like the Hilton. Oh, yeah. People board their pets like in September for December. When I talked to him back in September, he's like, we're not taking any more board now. I said, you need to build yourself a new warehouse.
Yeah.
Because that's some good jack.
Not a warehouse.
It's more expensive to board your damn dog than it is to board your kids.
Yes, I know.
I can go get a hotel at a Motel 6 for $39 a night. It's going to cost me $69. And I don't have to belly rub my kids or take them for a walk.
Do they have remote cameras in there?
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's Doggy Playland.
That's right.
Talk about one of our great sponsors.
It's not Doggy Playland, but it is Playland for humans. They're going to pamper you just like Dr. Rab, but in a weird, different way. Woodhouse Day Spa is one of our great partners. They're located up at the Summit, 905-7676. Luxury, luxury, luxury. Manicures, pedicures, facials, massages. It's the perfect holiday gift. It is a gift of pampering. You can go to their webpage, birmingham.woodhousespas.com, birmingham.woodhousespas.com, and you can get for yourself or for somebody else as a gift. You can get specific packages. They have all kinds of great packages. But also, if you're not sure what to do, get them a beautiful gift certificate. Their gift certificates literally are works of art. And the person can choose for themselves. All you do is go to birmingham.woodhousespas.com, birmingham.woodhousespas.com. And again, it's Woodhouse Day Spa located up at the Summit. That's 905-7676.
I had a great conversation with Stuart Rome. Was it on Friday? He loves what we're doing here on Tony Curry Radio, and I think he may be doing a show.
It's a great idea for a show.
Dr. Josh Claypo will host that show, hopefully. That would be pretty cool. Tomorrow, by the way, is Monkey Day. Isn't that crazy?
Like, not the monkeys, but monkeys.
No, it's Monkey Day. It's a day to celebrate monkeys.
Okay.
Yeah, I also noticed, too, when I was posting stuff, I didn't realize the monkeys. I always thought monkeys was M-O-N-K-E-E. It's not. It's M-O-N-K-E-Y.
Yes, that's how you spell monkey.
But Monkees, the band, was M-O-N-K-E-E-S.
Because they want to make it a little bit different.
Tomorrow's Monkey Day. So you can celebrate Michael Nesmith again. Morris Day. A Morris Day in the night. Man, I used to love me some Jungle Love.
The Time.
The Time. What did I say, the night?
Yeah.
What? Morris Day and the Time, yeah. Morris Day and the Night.
Did they do anything besides Jungle Love?
I was thinking
Love?
Day and night. Get it? Huh?
Do they have anything besides Jungle Love?
Oh, yeah.
What else?
What else they have? They had, they had like two or three different songs. Yeah. Yeah, they had.
I just associated him with Purple Rain. And
he did Oak Tree. Oak Tree. Yeah. He had two or three different songs. Okay. Of course, he was the nemesis of one Prince.
Yes.
Purple Rain, remember?
Yes. I forgot there was a plot.
He was the bad rapper. He's 65 today.
Okay.
Mike Tirico turns 55.
Mike Tirico is only 55?
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's a good.
We should reach out to Damon Johnson because his good friend Ted Nugent.
Is he like 70?
Anti-vaxxer. Killing buffalo. Feeding villages. Killing elephants.
Yeah.
Damn straight. Does not drink. It was a great article, by the way, on TonyCurryRadio.net. About him meeting David Lee Roth. And he loved himself some David Lee Roth.
He did.
He's like, he was a showman, but man, was he messed up. He's like, drugs will kill you. So I guess that's such a shame because he's such an interesting cat and such
a
great guy.
I didn't know David Lee Roth was a drug. I mean, I know he partied, but I didn't know.
Oh, he said he was so messed up every time he saw him, he couldn't even have a conversation. He's like, dude, straighten up. Let's have a conversation. I want to learn from you. I want to talk to you about some things he
Ted
said, but
Nugent's
he couldn't.
Ted Nugent's an interesting guy.
Ted Nugent, man, has been
on the show.
Ted Nugent is about as conservative, which is crazy, right? Because there's nothing conservative about him. Wang Dang, Sweet Poo Dang.
Yeah.
He is like, he is never drugged, never drank.
Right.
Shoots bows and arrows. He is like the most conservative man on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
That's why I give him a pass for the anti-vaccination and
well,
the Trump
bitch,
stuff.
Dude.
And,
right?
Yeah. Well, he's still alive. God spared him. So he must be on the earth for something. There, Dr. Josh, maybe he's on to something.
Wait, did you say it's his birthday?
Yeah, he's 73 today.
I was going to say 70.
Jamie Foxx, 54.
Mm-hmm.
He's not dead. Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, he's got to be like...
See, this is going to be another one of those things, man. I'm showing my age, but when he dies, it's going to hurt a little bit. I'm going to go, because I'm used to watch the Dick Van Dyke Show, watch Mary Poppins.
He's got
to
be like 96.
He's 96 years old. There's something to be said about comedians. They either die really young or they die really old.
I'm telling you, Betty White, for me, is going to be the hardest thing. Not because I was a giant Betty White fan, but just like... This is so morbid. But once you get like to that age, it could be tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or a year, that's what I'm saying. Every time I see Betty White in the headlines, oh God, she's still there.
Yeah.
All right. So is this Dick Van Dyke was my surprise?
No.
Oh, so LeBron's birthday.
T Swift.
It's her birthday today. She's 33.
32. She got to get after it.
Queen.
Taylor Swift can't be singing the same songs when she's 40. She needs to get
after
it.
No, she's changed. This new album is... Listen, my kids, big Taylor Swift fans, my son appreciates her songwriting.
Yeah.
And I've told you this. I appreciate her professionalism and all whatever, but not the latest album, but the album before. If you listen to it, which you won't.
Yep. I won't.
No, but I got to tell you, listen... For me, there was a shift over. She sounds like a 30-year-old singer-songwriter now. Mm-hmm. She's aging in her music, which I think is, that's great. I'm surprised my kids didn't say anything to me.
Yeah.
How much is her net worth?
I don't know.
It's got to be worth a lot. That's crazy when artists start so young. I mean, it's almost like professional athletes that, you know, she's been around for 30, almost 20 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
And she's only 30 years old.
Miley, same way.
How's Miley? Is Miley older or younger?
She's a little older, I think. Not much.
Yeah. She just, well,
no,
she,
I don't think, you know what? I think
she's younger.
She may be.
Yeah. I mean, Miley's just a little rougher. I mean, a lot rougher, but.
Well, she's gone.
Rough.
Well, she's gone.
What?
Dark, quick.
Could you imagine Taylor Swift kind of making the same transition at like?
Miley's 29. Yeah, I mean she's naked on a. I mean she went straight porn, dude. She's like, forget Disney.
You know what she did? That's what she did. She's like, look, T Swift went this way. I'm going the other way.
Yeah, it's the difference between the Beatles and the Rolling Stones.
Yes. Oh, that's really good. Look at you bringing it back.
Keep it clean. I'll take the dirty, nasty part. The problem with the dirty, nasty part, though, is once you've, it's like dropping the F-bomb on stage. Once you go there, there ain't no going back.
Then you can't clean
up. You can't, unless you have some type
tragedy.
Of midlife epiphany where all of a sudden you decide you want to become a nun.
Yeah, epiphany or tragedy.
Yeah, and then you definitely can't go back to where you were. So you might as well go get it.
Right. Now, if you're good, you can become bad, can't you? Slowly?
Well, sure.
You can, Miley.
Has there been any
Miley Cyrus
thing that Taylor Swift's done that's been considered? What is it? The Shake It Off video was a little risque because you were crawling between women's legs.
Yeah.
But it was Taylor's like, oh, Taylor. Look at those butt cheeks. Oh, Taylor, you're so funny. You would never do that. You had a bunch of women that were naked on you. That is hilarious.
You know
Taylor.
Where she's the most that way is when she's like at events. She has met sort of, she's most sexy when she's like posing for the camera or whatever, yeah. But her music, her videos, I mean, they're not, it's not bubblegum pop stuff anymore, but yeah, it's just, that's not her vibe. Yeah. It's exactly what you said. It's, oh, Taylor, look at you.
Then where would you put Katy Perry, like in the middle?
Yeah, because Katie's got that. Well, because Katie.
Or is there another female I'm missing that's out there? That's Katie. That's the first one I could think of. Like Ariana Grande, they're kind of smutty to me. I don't know. Just
no. Just kind of nasty. Taylor's Katie, over here.
Katie's kind of clean.
Miley's over here. Katie can kind of go both ways.
Yeah,
that's exactly what she can. She can go both ways. She can clean it up, but then she's also naked in her videos while she's pregnant.
Yeah.
But she also can sing Beautiful Love. Yeah. She can do Roar.
Her music is very influential.
I know.
If you listen to her words, it's kind of like, I could see my daughter, like when my daughter listens to Katy Perry, I'm okay with it.
So listen, here's one thing you have to do about, I know this is a classical rock show, one thing about Taylor Swift, and again, I told you that I am not, listening to her music other than some of this new stuff just doesn't do much for me. I don't dislike it. It doesn't much, but read the lyrics. She is a good songwriter. She's a great songwriter.
Yep.
And I've started doing this more now. I've started reading lyrics, partly because I want to know songs that I don't really know the words to.
Mm-hmm.
But you can definitely tell people who are songwriters or a song that's a singer-songwriter song versus just sort of a poppy or hard rock.
You know, I've been telling you this. The end of the world's not going to be a meteorite. It's not going to be a tornado. It's not going to be...
It's wasps in my family.
It's going to be hurricanes. It's going to be animals.
Bugs.
The return of the animals are realizing that they were taking their earth, and they're like, you're messing up our habitat, and the climate's changed, and there's no polar bears anymore. I saw there was like four rhinoceroses killed at some preserve for their horns. And it's really weird. They're taking their horns off. These poaching constituents or organizations are taking the horns off the rhinos for them and then putting fake horns on so poachers don't know if they're going to get the horns or not. And so they're less likely to kill the animal because the only way to get the horn is to kill the animal. But these poaching organizations are coming in and they're taking the horn off for them and then putting some type of fake ivory or whatever.
Prosthetic
horn on. And then they're killing those and realizing there's no money in it, so they don't kill them then.
Is that humane or is that not humane?
Sure, it saves their life.
Yeah.
But they need their horn for protection, but they've got a prosthetic horn, so they could still
like
have a horn.
Like
but
titanium. Maybe it's titanium. Ooh, they're like Marvel superheroes now.
Yeah.
It's the rhinoceros of the titanium.
It's pretty smart, actually.
It's very smart.
I mean, if someone said, listen, someone's going to take your leg, they're going to kill you, or do you want me to chop your leg off right now and give you a prosthetic so you can live? Give me the prosthetic leg.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this gentleman, this is a crazy story. You know, don't tell me animals ain't pissed off at us.
They are very
pissed
off.
By the way, I went and got a cup of coffee this morning and a deer jumped over the top of my car.
Really?
It was, whenever you see a deer, there's always 20. More than one.
Yes.
it's like police officers. Whenever you see one police officer, there's always another one around somewhere.
In my backyard this morning, there was 15.
So if you see one,
stop,
because there's going to be four more. They're either in front of it or behind it. There's going to be. So I saw two and thought, safe. It was a mom and a baby. I'm safe. And then I'm driving down, and I look out. I just see right over top of the car. It was awesome. A Singapore resident was hospitalized after a bizarre attack this weekend. Graham George Spencer told the Straits Times. He's in his 60s, reportedly approaching the visitor center at the Singapore Botanic Gardens with a friend when he spotted around 20 otters crossing a dimly lit path in front of him. He claimed it was the first time he had seen the old mussel lids in the area despite taking his morning walks there for 5 months. As he approached the otters.
Oh, here we go.
He said one came up and started nibbling on his ankles. Here's a video of it, by the way. I thought it was kind of interesting. But then they reportedly started hitting him in the ankles, pushing him down and leaping on top of Spencer. He was bitten 26 times.
Wait, pushing him down?
Yes. Otters.
Wait. No, I mean, aren't
he got overtaken by a group of otters.
But like beavers are bigger than otters, right?
Proceeded to bite the prone man around his legs, shoes, buttocks, one nipping his finger. He was bitten 26 times.
I don't understand that.
In 10 seconds.
Yeah, I don't understand. How did they take him down? Like, what did
one start getting after his ankle? You got 20 damn otters coming at you? That'll take you down, even you. He thought it was interesting they were coming up to him. He's like, oh, that's interesting. But they're seen in this botanical garden thing. Everyone knows the otters. They're like, oh,
yeah,
the otters.
Cute, right?
They're cute little
like
otters.
Like Taylor Swift.
Oh, they eat food off their belly, and they're snapping around. They go in the place. It's like, oh, otters are cool. Cantankerous creatures ceased the attack momentarily, allowing Spencer to get up and make a break for it. The pair then ran for the visitor center with the otters in pursuit of him to the center. Shortly thereafter, a guard who appeared to be returning from a break treated Spencer's wounds with bandages, offered to call an ambulance. Doctors administered Spencer tetanus shots, oral antibiotics, and stitched up his wounds. He had 17 stitches, racking up about $2,200 in medical bills. Spencer reportedly struggles to sleep or sit down due to the bites on his bottom, said he might even have to cancel an upcoming Christmas trip to the UK.
Oh, no.
On account of not feeling well enough to travel.
Okay.
Nonetheless, he said, I'm lucky to be alive. If it wasn't for my friend, I don't think I'd still be here.
Are you going to sue the otters for assault?
In light of the incident, Dr. Tan Pu Wyak, group director of the facility, is employing visitors to observe otters from a distance and avoid feeding or interacting with them, especially when they're young or around. The park has also posted signs of the park's entrance warning guests about the aggressive. There's now an otter sign that says, stay away from the otters.
What is wrong with us?
It is the first documented otter attack in the history of the world.
Yeah, well, because,
there is never, ever, in my years of documenting otters' behaviors, I have never heard of such an aggressive attack.
They got it called.
This is the first one ever.
Well, you've called it. They're all getting together. They're all texting each other.
A similar instance, 2019, a man was forced to rescue his dog from a pack of vivacious and vicious river otters in Alaska, but it was attacking his dog, not the human being. I'm telling you, man.
You are. There's a network. They're all texting each other. Because, right? I mean, and we've talked about this. Like, the
otters don't have phones.
The otters get a phone call.
You're being
call.
Silly. Otters
no, the otters get a phone call like, yeah, y'all go. Y'all do. No one will think you would attack. I mean, next thing you know, like, killer cottontail rabbits or the deer. Listen, I'm not a deer hunter, and I love the deer. You said deer like boobs, and they're like in my backyard, and I love, and the little babies come out and they're running, and it's cute. And the buck came out the other day, and you know, it was really interesting. I'm gonna make myself sound like someone from LA, but it is the largest thing, wild animal that I have ever encountered. I mean, like, I know that sounds ridiculous, but think about it. We don't have, me growing up, we didn't have giant mammals in our backyard. We had lizards and a rattlesnake, right? And a crow.
Yeah.
Like, there's just nothing, you know, well, occasionally you'd have a coyote, but the coyotes don't come down and, like, look at you, or a puma or whatever.
They do if they have rabies.
Yeah, but they do. Okay. So, but deer have that kind of, again, if you're not a hunter, they look innocent.
Yeah.
They look innocent. The bucks got a little more, you know. But imagine, I was thinking about this the other day because we had a baby that was up close to the garage. What if it was like the beaver? And they just decided one day, instead of staring at you with the, you know.
Oh,
they just flipped it the other way and all 15 instead of running.
No,
you'd be dead.
No, this is Planet of the Apes.
Yes, I know.
It's Planet of the Apes, but I mean, no, it's, you're spot on.
They would just,
thank God. And then one thing that does, when Dr. Reb will be on at noon and 8 tonight on Dark Side of the Pooch, the one thing that animals, they will act strangely when they have rabies.
Yes.
And they're not fearful of people. They don't do that.
Right.
And obviously, as people feed them, that's why you don't feed bears and stuff. Yep. But no, to think one day, if every deer
decide,
you know what, I've had enough of this crap.
And that's why I'm saying deer. You can do hawks too, but I'm doing things that are already kind of exist, at least where we live. I mean, hell, for my family, but the snakes in you know, rattlesnakes and coyotes in Southern California, they're already.
You know, I've watched Animal Farm, and I watched Charlotte's Web, and I've seen Babe enough times to know that if animals want to turn, if they were really smart enough to talk and figure shit out.
Oh, Charlotte's Web. Damn.
We had the story last week about the cows who stomped the woman and broke 26 of her ribs. There were cows, milking cows. One knocked her over, then all of a sudden a group of cows started just stomping on her head and stuff. And I'm like,
think about the wasps in your house.
I ain't really care about wasps.
Yeah, because you can defend yourself.
We can kill them with spray.
Yeah.
But you think about cows, you think about deer, anything in large numbers.
The hawks.
Yeah, maybe not hawks so much, only because, you know.
What? They come in and, like, swoop and pick you up.
Yeah, possibly. All right, talk about one of our great sponsors. We're going to play some classic rock. Download the KCast Radio, or should I say the Tony Curry Radio app. Formerly KCast Radio. If you got KCast Radio, you've already got
the
app.
Did you buy them out?
I did. We made an acquisition a couple of weeks ago. We bought out Tony Curry. Well, we bought out KCast Radio, and they turned into Tony Curry Radio, so we're expanding here. It's the Tony Curry Radio app. We've got Dark Side of the Pooch tonight. Adapter Parish, great show at noon and 8 on Tuesdays. Livewire Wednesdays. Thursday, we have the Austin Hanks Blues Almighty show at noon and 8 and the Damon Johnson show. We're going to be doing some of his favorite Christmas tunes coming up a week from this Friday, just in time for the holiday. So you can listen to some Christmas tunes here on Tony Curry Radio that happens on Fridays at noon and 8. Download the Tony Curry Radio app, some classic rock coming up, and then we'll be back on the Curry and Klepa show. But talk about one of our great sponsors.
Absolutely. Let me tell you about John Gray and Driscoll Gray. I just met with John this past week. Look, finances are complicated. Our lives are complicated. Things change. And you've got to make sure that your savings, your debt management, your investment, all of that is all kind of lined up. And it can be overwhelming. It can be confusing. This is where John Gray comes in. John does debt management, wealth management. He does savings. He does college savings. What he does is he looks at your life. He looks at your financial situation. And he's not just talking about putting money into investments. He's talking about managing your overall finances so you can live the best life that you want. And that's John calling right now. So call John Gray at DriscollGray.com. DriscollGray.com.
Tony Curry Radio. It's called Rock and Roll Damnation from AC/DC. A great song. You should hear more on the radio. And that's why we play it right here on Tony Curry Radio. We play some stuff. Everyone that, I think we got like 64 people that have commented on our app. We got, and they're all 5 stars. Same. Not one damn person has listened to our radio station said they didn't love it. Just, I mean, give it a shot. Download the Tony Curry Radio app. It's classic rock to the bone. It's stuff that if I had a classic rock station, and I do, it's what I play. It's not the same crap over and over and over again. The other thing we love around here is everything we play is up-tempo. There is no slow music here. No. Nothing. Sorry, no Stairway to Heaven. No Open Arms.
No.
Turn the Page. None of that stuff. I mean, everything we play here rocks. We do play some Metallica. We play some Beck. We play some different things that you won't hear on a classic rock station. We're super proud of that. And we have great, unique programming. Dark Side of the Pooch today at noon and 8. Tomorrow night, Adapter Parish, a great business show with Dr. Alex Hublin and Dr. Josh Klepo. And then, of course, on Wednesday, we do our Live Wire Wednesday show brought to you by Southern Precision Staffing. For all your staffing needs, 205-682-2828. 682-2828, area code 205. They're right here in Hoover, Alabama, but they serve the United States of America just like Tony Curry Radio does. Your handshake and your word still mean something at Southern Precision Staffing. We have a Blues Almighty with Austin Hanks on Thursday night. Not sure who his guest is going to be this week. I know he was talking about getting Rick Nielsen on from Cheap Trick, so that may happen this Thursday. And then the Damon Johnson show, I record that every week with him. Love that show. It's just fantastic. We were talking about Rock's greatest trios this past Friday night, and he was talking about Geddy Lee. I know we have a bunch of Rush fans that listen to it because we play some Rush here. A lot of stations won't play Rush anymore for some reason. We play Rush. Right. He said Geddy Lee is like an effing warlock. He's like, he's just the way his look, his nose, his hair is like, what the hell? Then he sings so differently. And
that's true.
It's a great show, man.
That is true.
Great show, man. I was,
Don't stations play Rush? Is Rush not considered classic rock?
It is classic rock.
I mean, like, what else would it be?
Dude, here's what we've gotten down to. We have about 200 songs that they know people will sit through. Right. The Sweet Home Alabamas and the All Right Nows, maybe. They're just super safe. They're just super safe.
True.
They would rather go, they'll sit through another one. They'll sit through another one. They'll play Once Bitten, Twice Shy 50 times a day because people will listen to it. Open arms, faithfully. They'll go, they'll sit through it because they're waiting for that next song. And it never comes. And every song we play here is killer. It's awesome. And most people that listen to us are like, dude, where's this music been? I'm like, I've been here.
That's a great thing about this station. If you're a diehard classic rock fan, you'll know every song.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a classic rock fan, which I consider myself, there will be songs, you'll know the artist, but there'll be songs you don't know.
Yeah.
But they're not deep cuts in the way that, you know, deep cuts. Sometimes deep cuts are like, you know, they're just, yeah. Yeah. But what I was going to say is, you will, every song you hear, you get your toes going.
Yeah.
It's toe tapping, even if you don't know the song.
No, I was listening to Austin Hanks' show, and he did Southern Blues. And I think a lot of people think it's going to be like Muddy Waters. And some of it is.
Yeah.
But he was playing like Driving and Crying and Jason the Scorchers. And he played a couple of groups I never heard of. And it rocked. I mean, it was like, so what is that song? I mean, when you hear a song one time and you're like, exactly. You want to hear it again. I mean, exactly. I was sitting there. I was like, hold on a sec. I'm Googling that. I'm getting on.
Exactly. You
know, I'm getting on YouTube to pull that music up. It's like, wow. And you just think that you know every great song and you don't. So, yeah, we've had to reintroduce a lot of, the Boom Boom Out Go the Lights and Children of the Sun. And we've had to reintroduce a lot of this music to people that had never heard it because there hasn't been a good classic rock station in this town in 10 years Classic Rock 99 went off the air. So great stuff. We talked about the Tornadoes. We'll talk about that again in just a few minutes. I wanted to mention that Travis Scott has been thrown off the Coachella tour,
yeah.
Which is a huge moneymaker for him.
Yes.
And I was happy to see that because there has to be some type of ramifications. I put a lot of responsibility, and this even goes to the insurrection on the 6th. I put a lot of responsibility on the people that actually are part of these concerts, these insurrections, these protests, these groups that whatever they want to do. And I realize that when you have someone at the top telling you what to do, we're robots. And I don't understand that. I think people are smart enough to know that if one person, it's like a cult. If someone's on stage saying, hey, everyone kick the shit out of that guy, and you do it, what's wrong with you? It's like you're a robot. It's like you're part of a cult. And so I don't put all the accountability and responsibility on Travis Scott for what he does at his concerts.
Right, right.
I do think he instills a rabid fan base, and if you go to one of his shows, you realize you probably don't need to take a 9-year-old to it because unless you're on the outskirts, it's going to get – they got the mosh pits and all that stuff. For the same reason, the insurrection, you know, – did Donald Trump have some responsibility? Yeah, because his fan base is rabid and they're idiots and they do whatever he tells them to do. And I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? So, I mean, I'm not going to put all responsibility on the highest level there. But, I mean, for Travis Scott, maybe this changes the way he does his concerts a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like, you know, maybe I need to cool it off a little bit because, and then if you're up on stage and you're just playing your music and people are doing their crazy stuff, then you're not liable for it. They're going to do it anyway at a Travis Scott concert.
Right.
But I think it was on this date in 1974, 75, the Rolling Stones wanted to have a concert on Easter Island. And they were going to have 100,000 fans on Easter Island. They wanted to do an Easter Island show. And the Chilean government said, no. you're not bringing your knuckleheads to Easter Island. It'll never look the same. You know, and as a Rolling Stones concert, right? So good for Coachella to say, listen, it's not worth the money to bring this cat on board. I know a lot of people love Travis Scott.
Yeah.
That's great. Good for him and good for them for pulling the trigger
on
that.
Speaking of trashing, did you happen to see the Alabama-Houston basketball game and the Houston team and trainers?
Couldn't have happened to a better guy than Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah. But the reason I'm even bringing it up, this one restores my faith in humanity a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, contentious game, contentious loss, Houston players and staff kind of lost their shit a little bit and they were kicking things over on the way out, which just, it's not a good look. It's not a good look at all, but particularly with the staff. Like that, you know, your trainer.
It comes from your staff.
I know, but that's what I'm saying is it's just not a good look in general.
Yeah.
But particular. But then, and I'm blanking on the player's name. I'm sorry. I'm blanking on the player's name who from Houston who came back and was picking up, or not came back, stayed, and was picking up all the trash that they're and this guy was getting so much love. And it was really weird. I was watching on social media because they were still slamming, fans were slamming on Houston. But it was almost as if, like, I don't even, I can't do this verbally, as visually. Like, they separated him out and said, this is a good kid.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I mean, it's just, you see so much crap that happens. And you to see him do the right thing. And, you know, this wasn't an optics thing. He didn't have his camera on him. Somebody taught him this was the right thing. What that is, that's leadership.
No doubt.
That is leadership.
No. You didn't see Coach Sampson doing that.
No, that's exactly.
The guy who's been given 17 different chances. He's a hell of a coach. There's no doubt. He wins everywhere he goes, but he's been show-caused about 16 times. And it's kind of like, and someone will always take a chance on him because he's a great basketball right. coach. He gets a lot out of his kids. And that's it's sad that he's had to cheat to get to where he's been for so long. I don't know what that teaches our kids. The whole Bruce Pearl situation at Auburn. The fact
right.
they got the slap on the wrist from the NCAA, and I realized the NCAA. It used to be, I remember doing sports radio, man, if you were being investigated, when you got the letter from the NCAA, it was like getting a letter from the IRS. You're like, oh, God, here we go.
Yep.
Because you were going to get hammered something. You can self-impose, you know,
right.
a ban like they did last year on postseason play, and that's easy because if your team's not very good, they're not going to go anyway. Bruce Pearl's a hell of a coach. He's very charismatic. I love him. But they brought him to Auburn in a show cause situation and took the chance because, and I think it was a great hire because he brought that program.
Oh, yeah.
They've been to a Final Four.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you lawyer up, and chances are you're probably going to be okay. And the NCAA has just lost any armor they had. I mean, they're falling apart. And I'm not saying that's not a good thing, but we have to have a governing body in college sports.
Yes.
And I heard something on College Game Day. They were talking about that. And the coaching carousel has been so crazy. We've had great coaches leaving great programs to go to other great programs. Right. And they're doing it in the middle of the night. And should there be a window there? Should we have to wait till the end of the year?
Right.
You had Lincoln Riley
coaching
leaving.
Portal.
Well, yeah, you got it for players, right? So why not do it for coaches? Yeah. You got Lincoln Riley, you got the Chip Kelly situation. You know, coaches just jump and chip, and it's a business. It's a multi-billion-dollar business, and you can certainly make an argument. I don't want to see the point where players are being paid because I think it hurts too many schools.
Yeah.
I don't think. And because of Title IX, if you're going to play or pay players in basketball and football, you're going to have to pay everybody.
That's right.
And it's just not going to – there's not the money there. We've had Mark Ingram on from UAB a million times. He's like, good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have to shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, they shut down three sports just because they couldn't make any money. What are they going to do if they have to pay their bowling team? Seriously.
I know.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. And I love the amateur part of college sports.
Yeah.
If you're good enough, you're going to get your money. You're going to get paid, right?
Well, depending on your sport, but yes.
And you're getting a free education.
Yeah.
You're getting all the tutorial needs you want. You're getting everything from, you know, you're there. And I know some people are going to go, that's crazy. You're not going to school to get educated. You're going to school to play football. In some cases, you are. That's correct. But for 99% of those people, they're going there to get an education because that's what they're going to have when they graduate.
Thank you.
The Army-Navy game was great.
Yep.
Because Navy came in with 3-8, and that was their bowl game. And the fact they beat Army was, and I love the pageantry, the patriotism.
Oh, yeah.
I can't get enough of that, man.
No, I agree.
I always wonder, though, since we have one of the strongest armies in the world, why our football team just isn't ass kicking every year?
Because they're busy defending.
Why? I know that. But when you think about we have the strongest army and you have a football team? God, what are you out there just, I mean, what, you know.
I told you
they had a good squad this year, but they lost.
They did. I mean, I told you my stepfather was an Olympic water polo player and he was in the army. And they wanted him to swim for Army and play water polo because they're a team. And so, man, his immediate assignment, I mean, he was willing to do anything. He was very, they're like, oh, no, you're over here behind the desk in Germany. Just kidding. And he's like, no, no, I want to. No, no, you're going to swim. And you're going to. I mean, it was kind of, it was like protecting your athlete. Which yeah. was interesting. I did watch, oh my God, Ali's grandson. Mm-hmm. He won another fight. That kid's got a lot of pressure on him.
You think?
I mean, I just, it was in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
It just, I was looking at him, you know, they were talking about it. It's his third professional fight. He's, his mom and dad, I kept thinking, this is one of those ones where, I mean, any pro athlete, you are the kid of a pro athlete, and you're good enough that you can make it into that level, right? Mm-hmm. Versus, but then once you get there, particularly a kid like him, you know, he's like, the amount of pressure to succeed is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely crazy. By the way, Lakers won too.
There you go.
Did you see LeBron? Did you see him flexing?
I did.
You know, we talked about this last week, and I know you said this, and I know this, but I'm acknowledging it. He played like a 280-pound freight train.
Yeah, he did.
And you do forget because he does distribute the ball. But here's for me. When he flexes, you know, they all do the flex thing. He really flexes.
Yeah.
He's like a Dwight Howard build.
Mm-hmm. No, I love to see that. I don't like to see it when they're down 20 and they weren't.
No.
The whole Cam Newton thing to me, since we're talking sports.
What did he do? What happened?
They lost again.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They brought him back to Carolina, and they had five. Five victories when he came in. He hasn't won his last 11 starts.
No, right? Because he's
At what point do you go? Yeah, this ain't working. I mean, he got $1 million contract in New England to play, and it didn't work. He went to a second year, didn't work, and I don't know. He got a lot more than that to come back to Carolina, and I realize he's the golden child there because he took him to a Super Bowl and he won an MVP. But this ain't the same Cam Newton.
No.
But, man, every time I see him do the Superman thing, I'm like, I had no problem with him doing that when they were winning football
right.
games.
Now
when 14 and 2.
Right.
Stop.
Stop. Yes.
Stop. You know? And even before the game, they showed him doing the pep talk because he's the leader of the football team. I don't know if you saw it.
Mm-mm.
They're in the tunnel, and he talked about leaving it all on the field. It was all okay. And then he said, oh, let's go get him. And they did a, you know. And then he turned around and ran out, and no one followed him. He ran out, and then they were kind of waiting, and then they ran behind him. And I'm kind of like,
I don't know.
I don't know Cam Newton. I don't know whether his teammates love him or not. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's not good.
But I watch a lot of body movements and reaction and
that's not. Yeah,
you know
they're not doing that, Tom Brady.
No, and I just. No, they're not. They play for Tom Brady.
They're not doing that.
That's why, you know, there's guys, you know, they won that game at OT and my Bengals lost in overtime. I don't know how the hell they pulled that off. And Joe Burrow is one of those guys. He's got the intangibles. He's a leader on that football team. Those guys won't catch footballs for Cam Newton that they would with Tom Brady. Same football, same throw, same velocity, same everything. I'm catching that football because it's coming from Tom Brady's hands and not from Cam Newton's hands.
Yeah.
And at some point, if you're Carolina and you get that great defense, they didn't play too well this past weekend.
Well,
but at some point, you got to go, listen, you have to have a leader out there on the football field. Drew Bledsoe, and I got this from Jay Barker, and I'll be on the Jay Barker Radio Network tomorrow. Always talked about Drew Bledsoe was probably one of the most talented, gifted quarterbacks he ever played with, but he wasn't a leader.
Yeah.
People loved him.
Yeah,
they liked him.
Yes.
He threw a hell of a ball. He made great plays. He could read defenses. He'd go third read. But he never won at the level he probably should have because he wasn't considered a leader.
But you we talked about this before. It's so interesting to me, Tony. This is so interesting because that position, it's an unfortunate set of circumstances because if you think about it, if you have the physical skills to play quarterback, right, which you need obviously a different set of physical skills in any other position. But you also need, in particular at that position, it's requisite that you have good leadership skills or at least adequate leadership skills. So we've talked about this. Not everybody has leadership skills. Not everybody. Everybody can learn some leadership skills. You absolutely can learn mm-hmm. them. But, you're not necessarily going to be awesome at it. So you think about the guys in the NFL who are quarterbacks who just don't have leadership skills. It doesn't mean that they're jerks. It doesn't mean that they're a-holes. But like, to your point, it can take you, essentially, it's like, it can take you out of your position. We're going to have to let you go,
yep.
right? We're going to have to let you go. You, if you look at your performance review, right? You've done everything. You've hit all your numbers. You've hit all the things. But your team doesn't follow you. You don't have the leadership skills. It's almost as if you need a special leadership training if you don't have the team. And it would be interesting to me.
There's some people you can't. Because there are born leaders. There are born leaders.
Just like athletes.
Are a lot of people say you must be a follower in order to be a leader. You have to be a follower first. You have to learn. There are some people, if someone walks up and says, I need you to be more of a leader. Sometimes I don't think they can. And it's not that they don't want to be.
No, I agree.
It's not that they're not willing to get there first and leave last. It's that they just, it's not in their DNA to be a leader.
There's
great followers because not everyone can be a leader.
No, right. Absolutely. So here's a couple things. Yes, like everything else, there is innate ability, right? I can't do math. Claypos don't do math, right? That's not our thing. There are people who do math, right? I learned to do math in order to get through college and graduate school, but that's not my natural thing. Leadership absolutely is the same way, and I think this is important. You can be born a leader, and you can have innate leadership qualities, but like anything else, you can learn leadership skills. You can learn to be a much better leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question becomes, though, can you learn to be a better leader? Is that enough to lead a football team, to lead a corporation? So
I wish there were more leadership. I wish I had gone through more leadership, because I was told many times when I was doing the classic rock thing, and I was just having a great time, man. I had great numbers and making good money and just having fun, right? And they're like, you need to be more of a leader. And I didn't really know what that meant because
sad.
I was like, well, I'm number one. I'm doing everything I could possibly do. People look up to, what is it exactly you want me to do? In hindsight, I look back and I could have done a lot more to be a leader. And even in this business, to an extent, it's important to be if you're going to be a business owner and you don't have the resources for people to do all your stuff, you have to lead. And I wish more kids, even my 17-year-old, I wish there were some more leadership classes you could take.
It's happening more and more because one of the things that we're learning, we've known it for a while, but one of the things we're learning, and I just want to make one point that's so important. Your title or your rank in anything, that is not synonymous with leadership. You can be a great leader and be 12 and have no income.
Mm-hmm.
You can be in a giant corporation and be an administrative assistant and have amazing leadership qualities. And we would argue that in any organization, you need to have multiple people with leadership qualities. Mm-hmm. And it's important. It's just that, again, like on a quarterback, for a quarterback, kind of like the CEO, maybe. I actually think it's not the CEO. I think it's more like, if we're going to use a business, this would be great for adapter pairs. Anyway, it's more like the chief operating officer,
mm-hmm.
right? It's mm-hmm. because your quarterback's not the general, not the coach, not the owner. Your quarterback is the one who is driving, at least for the offense, all of operations. Well, if you don't have faith in whoever's ahead of all of operations, he or she told me to do this. They don't know what they're talking about. And that's where it's leadership skills. It's not just your skill at executing. Like you said, I don't know. Cam Newton he looks to be an amazingly skilled athlete, right?
Yep.
Because is it that he can't throw a football? Probably not.
Yep.
Oh, but what about Big Ben? As long as we're going there. I've been watching Big Ben. The guy can throw. Obviously, he looks, every time I watch, it's as if all of his body is so damaged. It's almost like the rhinoceros. It's like they've preserved his arm.
Yeah. Mm. Well, he's been a big guy. And he's taken a lot of hits, and he's had great offensive lines his entire career, and this is why it's his last year with Pittsburgh and probably his last year in the National Football League.
Because it's all that's left.
Now, you know, it's really interesting, too. There was a great article written, forget his name, starts with a P, out of the New York Post and the NFL Network about Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Now, Urban came out late yesterday and said, if I find out anyone's leaking anything, they're unemployed. They're gone. They're fired. Evidently, Jones, one of the receivers, had a tiff with him and basically said, you suck, and I'm not playing for you, and left the camp. And then he came back and he said it was blown out of proportion. He said, we sat there and watched the news. We both laughed at it. Urban Meyer,
it's a hot mess, man.
It is an absolute hot mess. And listen, it's only his first year at Jacksonville. They won two games. They got blown out yesterday again by the Tennessee Titans. And you got Trevor Lawrence, who I think is going to be a good quarterback. I feel for the kid. Yeah. Threw four picks again yesterday. I feel for the kid because I don't think he's getting any direction. I may be totally wrong.
Yeah.
But just from the hiring that Urban Meyer's done, his past in all the arrests he had in Florida, what he did at Ohio State, it's just a stinking mess whenever he leaves a program. And this is on Jacksonville for hiring him.
Right.
I'm not saying it wasn't a splash hire. There's already talk about whether they're going to fire him or whether he'd leave first. He's a snarky, sneaky little. He's never going to get fired. He'll leave before he gets fired. That's what Urban Meyer does. And then, of course, the video with him with a woman. From a leadership standpoint, I look at that and I go, why would I play for that guy?
That's exactly.
You know, I look at the Detroit Lions, a team that's won one ball game. They fight their ass off.
Yes.
They fight every single play. They've lost I don't know how many games this year by one possession. That football team, that's why you don't see. You can talk about the Jets. You can talk about other programs that suck and go, they're just not playing well. But the Detroit, I'm watching the Detroit Lions, and they lost again. That football team bust their ass. Now, they're not making plays. They're not making the plays they need to win, but they're giving it everything they got, and they're playing for their coach, and they're playing for each other. And I don't have any doubt that, you know, with a couple more drafts, they'll be successful. That's what great coaching does. And Urban Meyer, you know how I feel about Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
I think he's a great college football coach. He's won two national titles. He's got to be something. He's been at two huge schools where recruiting is a lot easier, and maybe he has surrounded himself with the great resources and great assistant coaches to pull that off. But as far as in being a great, I would love to hear Tim Tebow.
Yes.
Really hear, Tim Tebow's never going to say a bad thing about Urban Meyer. He'll never say a thing. Nope. And of course, him bringing Tim Tebow in to play tight end.
Right.
I mean, he will never say anything bad because Tim Tebow doesn't do that. But I would really love to hear, okay, who was your leader? Was it your coordinators? Was it your position coaches? Or was it really all the way to the top? And it could happen to a better guy. I just, you know, he keeps getting chance after chance after chance. Hiring guys that have sexual harassment cases pending. I mean, I'm like, dude, what do you? And you know, we used to have a boss. This is in radio, okay?
Which is not quite like the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is not.
No. We had leaders, but we had leaders that knew how to have a good time.
Yeah.
And we had one particular GM that was just, he just loved women. Married. And he was that guy that was throwing parties at his house at 1 o'clock in the morning on Friday nights. And I remember thinking to myself, and listen, it was me. I was having fun too. I thought it was kind of cool that I had a boss that did those kind of things. But there was that little piece of me going, you know, you're the leader here. You're our boss. You're the general manager of this entire radio station, over 100 employees, and you're conducting this. He had something going on with one of his assistants, and he allowed her to live on the second floor of the building. It was just kind of like, you know, that stuff gets out. I mean, that gets out. Your sales staff sees that. Your on-air staff sees that. Your human resource people see that.
But
your traffic continuity people
see
that. And we laugh it off. It's radio, ha ha ha. Mm-hmm. But it was always that piece of me thinking, you know, wow, that's a little weird, man. That's a little strange. And because of that, it didn't last very long.
The Detroit Lions example, I think, is a really good example because you can have amazing leadership will not always get the job done, but it will get the best out of whoever you have to play for you. I mean, because people seem to think like if we have a, you know, if we have this incredible leader, we can conquer anything. Not always.
Yeah.
Not always.
Does it work that way in families too? Does there need to be a leader in the family?
It's an interesting point. I think like an organization, it's just the problem is in family, it's you have fewer employees. I think the chemistry, like the Lakers, the chemistry's got to work, right? So everyone in the family is not necessarily going through. Well, let me say this: a leader does not have to be the dominant person in the organization. People are in the family. People have different kinds of leadership skills, and in fact, you could have, if you had a family of four, you could have four leaders. One of the great skills of a leader is learning and knowing how to work with other people.
Yep.
So does a family need a leader? No. And in fact, you have to be careful if the family has a leader. It's got to work for the whole family. It's not a imposed leader because this person has a dominant personality. A strong personality does not make you a leader in any way. And this is why, like you said, this is what we try to do when we're training people on how to be leaders. You got to break a lot of myths.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about, you know, always having your shit together, about being right, about not taking crap from people. It is this mix of that and admitting your mistakes. Of caring for people, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. So yeah, in a family, it's real interesting, Tony. It's you got it. Family's an organization. It's a team.
Yeah,
you gotta absolutely work it out.
One person I think is a great leader, and that is the governor of Kentucky. I've seen him numerous times, and I lived in Louisville, Kentucky, a long time ago. But I keep up with what happens in Kentucky and in Ohio, in my home state. He came out yesterday and they were asking him, you know, and just.
He's good.
He is good. And I don't know what his record is. I don't know. They're just based on what
just
he,
as, yep.
But there was this calm, calculated, and it wasn't all political coach speak crap. But he was asked last night on the nightly news, you know, how are you going to get through this? He's, you know, he pulled the, we're tough. We're tough in Kentucky. We've dealt with a lot of things. We have a lot of rural areas. We have a lot of social economic issues here that obviously play Kentucky. But we're going to figure this out, and that's where that inner strength comes from. And I love to hear him. And I thought, wow, that would be a great. I'd love to hear that from KIV or any governor in that particular situation. It didn't look so calculated. It was off mic. And our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone associated. We talked earlier in the show. I've been through Bowling Green a million times. I get two friends of mine that live on the north side of town, great college town, and certainly Mayfield as well. I've driven through and stopped through there. But our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone affected by these tornadoes. I, you know, whenever you have these things, you're like, and we always gauge the severity of a particular trauma based on a body count, and this is a huge body count. If this tornado hadn't killed, it looks like it's going to be north of 100 people, it'd still be a horrible situation.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that they did have everything they needed. And I thought, that, you know, the candle maker guy, you're hearing from employees saying he wouldn't let us leave. Some people left. His side of the story was, I didn't want my employees to leave because I didn't want them driving in to whatever was out there. And I thought they were going to be better. But we pretty much know that if you're in a warehouse, unless you have some type of safety area or an area with big giant bricks in the bathroom, but you're going to, and it was the holidays. A lot of people said if I left, I was going to get fired. I needed to make the money for Christmas. It was just a tough get, man. It was a tough get. And our thoughts and prayers, regardless of who's to blame for that, goes out to these people. There is this thought that when people socially, economically have it harder, that their loss of life doesn't mean as much. Does that make sense? I go back and you know, I watch a lot of history channels and stuff, and I see these plagues that knocked out 25 million people. And when something is so vast and so large, we don't think that each individual life means as much because it's so clumped together. Does that make sense? And then certainly if we look at people in Taiwan or we look at people in Ethiopia or Afghanistan right now, there's a great story in Afghanistan, roughly 70% of that country right now is under the poverty line.
Yeah,
1 million babies are going to die because they can't eat. Just stuff that we take for granted around here. I mean, I could pick through someone's trash and get enough to eat yes. today if I had to. But for some reason, I think a lot of us think their lives don't mean as much as ours.
It's interesting because we will never say that.
No.
Like if you were asked.
But I'm saying it.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
I'm saying it. And I mean, every life means, particularly people that have been stricken over and over and over That's again right. with the same thing. You know, if you've had 8 babies and you've lost 5 of them because they couldn't eat, yep. we feel like the death of that 6th child just doesn't mean as much, and it does.
Yes.
And so to see the loss of life in a very rural area of town where they had to be making candles, I'm like, candles? I didn't even know there were candle factories. I thought everything was, you know, processed and it was Hallmark and, you know, Goop. You know, were they making candles that smell like your vagina in Mayfield? I don't think so. But it's like,
yes, I know.
But it's like, really, they're making. I didn't even know those existed.
I know. This is why. You know? You know, one of the things that we try to do.
It makes my heart ache, man.
Listen, one of the things we try to do in public health to try to put some perspective, because we just say COVID, 1,000 people are dying a day. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, when you say 1,000 people are dying a day, unless you know one or more of those 1,000, it is. There is a distance to it. And mm-hmm. so one of the ways, I mean, this has been a sort of thing in public health for years, because you have these situations where people, either in this country or all over, they're dying and we hear about it. So what you do is we tell their story. I mean, humans can almost not disconnect when there is a one-on-one human connection. I mean, you can, but it's next to impossible. 1,000 deaths, it's easier for us to go, that's terrible. Go tell the story, show the family, have someone talk about that they were a brother or an uncle. And what ends up happening is it's not that it may not change what you do. It definitely impacts you differently. Mm-hmm. And this is why something like the tornado in Mayfield, where there's, you know, 100, you start playing these ridiculous numbers. Well, there's only 100 people there, and there's 1,000 people with COVID. They're all dying.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. all dying. And it's to your point. This is where you got to check it back, and you have to think about who is the person who is dying. Now, is it going to change your life? You know, people say, there's nothing I can do. No. You can give and whatever. But what it does is it regrounds you as a human.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that, you know, we can fight against is if the otters are going against us.
Exactly.
The otters coming after my ankles.
There ain't no otters at Jimmy Hale Mission.
No, there's not.
Not unless they can teach you vocationally, mentally, physically, or spiritually.
And I don't think you can do that to an otter.
I'm going to have lunch with Michael Coleman on Thursday. I can't wait to see him. I haven't seen him in a few months. He's super busy. He's even too busy for toeing the bone. But he carved out enough time, and this is what he does, to make sure that I know what's going on with Jimmy Hale Mission so I can help promote everything they do, their official sponsor and official charity of Tony Curry Radio. If you go to TonyCurryRadio.net, TonyCurryRadio.net, great website. There's a donate button right on top. Click it. $5 a week is going to help a woman, man, or a child. It's going to probably save the life of a man, woman, child. From an addiction standpoint, we're still too far out, but the next 2 years in this country are going to look totally different than they do in 2021 in December, because everything that we've viced ourselves on and everything that we're trying to do to get through all these different things, PTSD, addictions, drinking, smoking, whatever it is, it's going to come up to the top. And I think the Jimmy Hale Mission is going to be a busy place. Thank goodness they have the wherewithal and the resources to help everyone who comes in. Will they give you a warm meal and a hot bed, or hot bed and a hot meal and a warm bed? Absolutely. But if you're going to buy in, and you're going to be there, they're going to make sure that you work the program and you're going to do it right so you can get back out in the community and can be the best version of yourself, the person that God created us all to be. So check out the Jimmy Hill Mission, jimmyhillmission.org, jimmyhillmission.org, or go to tonycurryradio.net, tonycurryradio.net, and click that donation button. Talk about another one of great sponsors. Classic rock to the bone, 24-7. We got Dark Side of the Pooch, Dark Side of the Pooch Monday. Dark Side of the Pooch at noon and 8 with Dr. Rab Stewart from the Rossbridge Animal Hospital happens today.
Let me tell you about Vituro Health. Look, we want you to be around for the holidays, guys, and prostate cancer does take out one out of every nine men. It's a very common form of cancer, but it's also incredibly treatable. Vituro Health, our great partner, is out there bringing new technologies and new treatments to the marketplace so that you have options in case you get diagnosed with cancer, with prostate cancer. They're asking us, they're asking every man to do a couple things. Number one, have a blood test every year. It's called a PSA. Number two, have your prostate examined. And then the third thing is, if you get diagnosed with prostate cancer, go to their webpage, VituroHealth.com, learn about the new treatment options, learn about minimally invasive techniques, and know that there are people there to help educate you on what your options are. Again, company is Vituro Health, and the webpage is VituroHealth.com.